The Department of Defense needs a 21st century security network that can handle a growing number of sophisticated threats. The Pentagon has already put a lot of work and resources into the host-based security system. It is part of the Pentagon's first coordinated department-wide security system. Dan Garay is vice president of the Lexington Institute, writing about a six-step strategy he believes the Pentagon should pursue to build off of the system it already has. Dan, thanks very much for coming on today. It's great to talk to you, as always. You write that the Pentagon's at an inflection point with its information networks and security. Why do you say that? Thanks for being on today, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure, Francis. Well, because it's got to make some very fundamental decisions, and it actually has made some, maybe implement, maybe a better word, a number of very fundamental decisions. How does it get its hands around what it calls the joint information environment? Bring all the sources of information, all the networks, all the nodes together into some kind of an orchestrated, structured process. In doing that, you then have to add a security layer, a single security architecture, they call it, so that you won't have one kind of security in one place, another in a second place, a third approach in a third, and the seams all become wide open portals to the bad guys. In addition, they've got to now move to providing that level of security, not just to laptops or workstations or aircraft or bombers or tanks, but to mobile devices and on the cloud. So you're talking about the system becoming more controlled, but yet larger, more complex, yet more straightforward, and more effective and secure all at the same time.
I mentioned the host-based security system, and the first of the six steps that you suggest as part of a strategy involves the HBSS. It sounds like the reviews that you've heard of HBSS are positive so far.
You know, look, security is in most cases only as good as the people who operate. And we all know that from our own laptops. If you don't accept the latest update, if you forget to go to Symantec or to Norton or whatever to download it, you're not going to be involved. If you choose to go to places that they warn you not to go to, it screws up. But in this kind of a system, it's been used extensively by the Department of Defense all over and by the commercial users in a different form. So it's got millions and millions of endpoints, been tested billions of times, works well if you employ it properly. If you don't, and in some cases, you might as well have just painted a sign on your back saying, kick me.
I think that's the first time the kick me sign has ever been referenced on the program.
Probably.
It strikes me as I read through each of these strategies that a lot of the work that the Pentagon has done is a result of what they learned the hard way through Buckshot Yankee. Is that a fair assessment on my part, do you think?
That and related studies, and also looking at what the commercial world does for its own self-protection. You know, we don't see things, we civilians, or us, even some of us who work in this field, don't really get the kind of breadth of vision of what's going on out there, how people are actually employing security. How are they dealing with risk and consequences, risk mitigation, cost effectiveness? And so the department has started now in the last few years to get very savvy about these things and to run exercises, including internationally with our NATO partners and elsewhere, and to sort of go figure out where they now have to make transitions from one form of security to another. And by the way, if you read the cybersecurity stuff in the commercial world, Gartner Company and all those, they're doing the same thing.
The second point that you write about in your suggested six-point strategy is creating a single security architecture. And you write, this architecture must eliminate stovepipes, reduce access points, consolidate network administration, and you have some other suggestions there as well. Are you suggesting that the architecture that the Pentagon uses now is too disparate, too diffuse to be able to be successful?
Yes, and in fact, the Pentagon has acknowledged that itself when it's looking to, for example, close down a whole bunch of their data centers on cost basis alone. But when you have different systems with different protocols bought at different times by different people, some of whom weren't really kind of aware of what they were buying, but they had heard the word cyber somewhere and thought they ought to have a slice. And when you do all that, and you're creating new networks, and you're plugging new things into networks, you're expanding the kind of the cutting edge or the vulnerable edge of your entire network. And as we all know, it only takes one point of failure in some of these systems, for the whole thing to be penetrated and potentially for it to crash.
The fourth, third step in your strategy is establishing an overall system manager for the new architecture. And as I read this, I thought we have U.S. Cyber Command, mm-hmm. we have the Defense Information Systems Agency, mm-hmm. we have cyber commands for each of the branches.
Yep.
Is that what you're getting at here? Is that there's still, despite the emphasis on cyber as a domain, there are still a number of people in charge of various pieces of that domain, it seems.
You know, in a number of cases, there should be, because when we talk cyber, we're not just talking cyber defense, we're talking cyber offense, we're talking cyber intelligence, at the very least. And there may be some other areas where it bleeds into EW, electronic warfare, and such. That's okay, but when you're trying to design a network, an information environment, where everything can talk to each other, where only authenticated individuals are online, where the data is passed securely, including when it goes in and out of non-DOD-owned centers, then you cannot do that in piece parts with different people being in authority. One entity. Somebody has to have oversight all of that. Somebody has to set the standards, and somebody has to determine that the standards are being met and that people aren't messing around with what they should be doing.
The fourth step in your six-step strategy, Dan, is to build in plans that will allow for growth and adaptation as threats change. And I imagine of all the six steps that you propose, that's probably the hardest one, because who knows what the threat landscape will look like 2 years from now or 5 years from now.
That is, in some ways, the real insight here, I think. You've hit on a really beautiful point, which is you've got to be able to see the network, understand what's going on, understand the information coming in from the broader world, from the intel community, from the private sector, and figure out ahead of time what's likely to be coming down the road. 95% of the threats we face in DoD computers today are still malware of some form or another that the basic systems can, if properly set up, handle. It's the other 5% that are like nuclear weapons in the system. If they go off, you've got yourself a huge problem. And those nuclear weapon equivalents may look differently today than they did yesterday and again tomorrow. You have to be able to respond. That is to pull in something for security, maybe out of the commercial world, at lightning speed. I mean, it should be faster than it takes to click on the buttons on Amazon and buy yourself a piece of electronic hardware.
The fifth step in your strategy, Dan Gurray of the Lexington Institute, is empowering the new architecture through increased automation. And this is exactly on the civilian side, what DHS is getting at with the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program.
Very similar. Look, what we're discovering is our systems, our world, is getting too fast to have people sort of at every checkpoint watching everything. You know, when we gave up on people running elevators up and down, it was just terribly inefficient to have them do that. The machine could do that job. We are being threatened so much, and things are happening so fast, and they're happening disparately across the networks, that you literally have to automate as much of this process as you can and use people for either refining targeting. You know, we think there's something out there, but we don't know. You, the analyst, look at it, or for deciding courses of action when there are consequences, political or technical consequences, for a particular response by the automated system.
The sixth step is to exploit the strength of the commercial market. Where is the Pentagon maybe not doing that to its fullest potential right now, do you think, Dan?
You know, the potential has the right instinct, and Ash Carter, the Secretary of Defense, is out there again in Silicon Valley kind of pushing this stuff. The problems are twofold. One, you have got to develop a different contracting process. You cannot wait weeks and months while the contracts go through development of requirements and then the vetting of them and then all the legal processes. A contract that takes months to put something in place is worthless in this system. It has got to be a new arrangement whereby you, in a sense, are contracting for continuous maintenance and upgrade. The upgrade, the new security device, even if it's in something you never wrote into the initial contract, has to be available to go into that system when the threat emerges. So we need even a new language for writing contracts.
Is part of this maybe the idea that we're going to have to look completely differently at cyber acquisition than we've looked at anything, any other kind of acquisition the government's ever done, Dan?
There's nothing that moves this fast. There's nothing that moves this fast. The technology is moving fast, but it's also that the conflict is moving fast. And therefore, and we're adding on new stuff on our side. So new devices, what does that mean? How do you play with them? So it is essentially the perfect storm. Term is overused, but it's perfect here. The perfect storm of problems. And if you don't have an entirely different acquisition system, literally, for if you only did this and didn't reform the rest of acquisition, it would be sad, but you'd still have done something significant. This area has got to be broken out and reworked completely.